So welcome everyone. This is Sani, a podcast that celebrates African scientists. I'm Alex Nyakung, a senior research specialist at AV Denison, and I've been hosting this podcast with
Selassie Weafrekwache, a microbiology PhD student at the University of Maine.
So today, I'm very excited that we've been able to be joined by Dr. Kojo Owusu-Ekufo. He's the head of Optometry and Visual Science Department at the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology. Kojo recently was the recipient of the George Britton Early Investigator of the Year Award. So hello, Kojo. Congratulations again, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, and nice to be here.
So we'll zoom quickly into our interview, Kojo. We'd like to usually begin our conversations with our interviewees with a similar question. So how did your past experiences influence your career direction in the field that you currently pursue? And what other field would you have pursued if not the field of optometry?
Thank you for your question. I'll say that my career direction has been influenced significantly by the kind of courses that I did, right from the secondary school, GSS. From the junior high school, I had a passion for science. I really didn't think about optometry because I never knew optometry. Going to Presbyterian Boys Senior High School to study general science was also a great experience. I fell in love much more with physics in the secondary school, and then also chemistry. They were my strong points, whilst biology was a little bit of my low points. Although we had to also learn so much to be able to go through it. From secondary school to the university, from the right during the secondary school, I was thinking more about entering into pharmacy. Because at that point, pharmacy, I knew a lot of people who were pharmacists, and I thought I like to maybe make some concoctions at home. So I thought that, oh, this is my great field that I'm going to pass. But over time, with the love that I had with physics, and then also I had a physics a teacher, Mr. Afram in Presec, who really supported and spread that interest. And even after secondary school, was kind of a teaching assistant for him for the period before I joined the university. So as the applications to move on to the university came in, my father was very good. He gave me the option to look for whatever I wanted to do. He didn't restrict me, saying that, oh, you have to go into this or that. Yeah. So I chose some courses there, and then as I was exploring the different options to consider, I saw optometry, read about it, and I said, oh, let me also choose this course. And then eventually I ended up in the optometry program, which was initially a four-year program, but during our time was changed to a doctor of optometry program. Throughout my life, I never aspired to be a doctor. I didn't want to be a medical doctor. I just wanted to be someone who would kind of administer medicine. Mm-hmm. And then that does not go with that kind of title doctor. But interestingly, my path has gone on beyond just having a doctor, but also getting a PhD as well. And I'll say that some of the things that may have influenced would be the kind of teachers I had in Presec, mm-hmm. and the kind of experiences that I had. Also being an assistant for a tutor in a secondary school, kind of, right. you get to do all these practicals and support him. So it's paid on very much. And I'll say that as I entered through the university, also, I crossed paths with another great father and mentor, Dr. David Benkuma, who also introduced me to research. Mm. So you'd see that As a clinical, being trained as a clinician, you do not do a lot of kind of research focused work, except in your final year when you do your dissertation. But around my fourth year, I got in touch with this mentor who inspired me, and for the very first time introduced me to HINARI, which is a WHO initiative to introduce researchers in developing world to the literature. So there is a lot of literature we can access without paying through HINARI. So he introduced me that our university had recently got a login. So he was downloading some articles and introduced me, downloaded some articles and then showed me some of these things. And right from there, the interest in research was born, looking at the literature, looking at all these statistical methodology and not really understanding what they are. And that also inspired me into biostatistics. Easy. So then he was also fortunately was my supervisor for my doctoral optometry thesis. Okay. I had to also, as part of it, learn SPSS and Minitab and Stata and everything, and also biostatistics on my own, as I also build up on the research methods that we were doing. So throughout that part, there was an interest for research that was sped up. And from there, Dr. Kumar also had an interest in nutrition for the eyes. So okay. There was a plant known as borassus, which kind of in Cree they say Ema Kube, which kind of is has a lot of carotenoids and also other nutrients. So he's always been looking for ways that we would kind of do some research to investigate the potential for this plant or for this fruit for nutrition for the eyes. So from there, I also got exposed that, oh yes, we can have nutrients helping the eyes and also for disease and others. So through that part, I also chose to become a teaching and research assistant as part of my national service here in the Department of Optometry and Vision Science. And from there, I also won a PhD scholarship from the European Research Council to go to Watford Institute of Technology, now South East Technological University in the Republic of Ireland, to do clinical trials in nutrition and specifically age-related macular degeneration, which is a disease that affects a lot of people age 50 years and over in the developed world. So we did a series of trials, and that's how my parts went into that field.
Oh, nice.
Interesting. That's been an interesting journey. So can you tell us more about the actual research that you do in the field of optometry, especially in layman terms for our audience, and what are the main areas that this field is trying to address?
Yeah, so the main research areas that I currently focus on is to investigate the potential impacts of nutrition for the eyes. Specifically, my research has focused on what we call macular pigment, which is simply a yellow pigment at the back of the eye, which is composed of three carotenoids, lutein, zeaxanthin, and mesozeaxanthin. And these nutrients throughout clinical trials have been shown to be important for vision and also brain health. So all I'm studying here is, number one, to also investigate the determinants of this macular pigment here in Ghana. Because for some time now, there was no equipment and also the expertise to do this kind of research. So this has been my focus back here in Ghana. And then secondly, to look at, to provide evidence for eye disease here in Ghana for policy and then also for education. In terms of disease statistics, and then also for specific diseases that affect Ghanaians, it's important for us to have estimates in terms of prevalence, in terms of the number of people who are being affected, in terms of the patterns of the disease, the risk factors, and also possibly to study these diseases over a long period of time in a way that will help us to accurately inform national eye policy. Most of the data that we use are always focused on the developed world, and this has been my focus, to work with a team of researchers and also work within the Ghana Health Service to help provide evidence and also support epidemiological work in eye care here in Ghana. So these have been my focus in my research here. And in addition, we also contribute to the overall research here in the Department of Optometry, which cuts across several fields, but focused on preventing blindness, primarily associated with refractive errors. There are many children who with just a pair of glasses would be able to see, but they do not have the access to those glasses. So what we're doing here is to make these glasses available to them and also examine their eyes in a way that would help prevent childhood blindness. When a child is blind, it will take a long time, and the impact is actually very great because the child has a long lifespan. And for the life of that child, the child will not be seeing anything. So right. What we're also doing here is to focus on pediatric eye care and also help prevent blindness associated with childhood eye diseases and primarily refractive errors.
Yeah. Okay, that's very interesting. A very wide scope of things you're looking at. So how do you work hand in hand with the government to try and get this policy set in place?
Yeah, working hand in hand with government is kind of an ongoing process. Working with the main policymakers when there is work that we need to do, like projects that we need to implement. So, for instance, in Ghana, we have the Ghana National Eye Care Unit, which is responsible for providing a strategic plan and direction for eye care here in Ghana. So working with the team in the Ghana Health Service, when there is research or work that we're doing relating to them, we work alongside with them, collaborate with them, interact with them, and then see how best they could support us, and also we can also support us. And in addition, we work with a team of doctors across the length and breadth of the country, where we also kind of engage with the primary eye care associations here in Ghana. For instance, the Ophthalmological Society of Ghana, the Ghana Optometric Association, the Ophthalmic Nurses Group, the Opticians Association of Ghana. So all these professional kind of associations, we interact with them in a way that will help us when we were doing any research. So where we need to get permissions from them, where we need to engage with the executives, where we need to also work alongside with their members in order to provide support for our research, we do that as well. And also it's also been a kind of up and down working with everyone. And sometimes we disagree, but we also try and find common grounds to work together, yes. So working with government, it's kind of, I think it's been a learning curve for me, and it's been a very great journey so far.
Yeah, that sounds like a work in progress, and
hoping
that at one point in time we can get to that point that we are looking at. And so, just going a little bit into what you do on a day-to-day basis, so. What does the usual day as a head of department and active researcher look like?
So my usual day as a head of department will start in the morning with administrative activities. So letters coming in, letters that need to be responded to, actions from maybe board meetings that I've attended that we need to act on, and then also work alongside faculty here in the department to ensure that those timelines are met, those action points are also handled. And in addition, my work also involves working alongside with the students in the department to ensure their well-being, and also working alongside with them, connecting them with support services here in the department, and also wide in the university at large. So students coming in back and forth, knocking on the door, and then you spend time with them to engage them. And also faculty from other department and across board, also visitors coming in to maybe look at our facilities, looking at potential ways that we could collaborate, sometimes also having some online meetings with other collaborators in other parts of the world to see how best we could work together to improve optometry education here in Ghana. Besides that, I also teach courses in the Doctor of Optometry program. So on some days I have to go to lectures, teach, and then following the lectures have interaction with students, and then come back. As a researcher, I do a lot of supervision of research students who are doing different research topics that we've given, and then also engaging with them, having project meetings to see where they are in terms of the research, giving support to them, encouraging them to push. And as researchers, we know that there will be times that you'll be down and you need to be motivated. And to come to a supervisor who's also going through all these things is also something that I do. And I do add a lot of empathy to that way, because that aspect, it's a point where that mentorship that is given as part of that research work leads to the development of young researchers who also take our places in the future. So through that, inspiring them to compete for different awards and grants to support their work, and throughout my work as an active researcher here, we've been able to support students to win international travel grants and different awards, which also adds on to their career development. And that also helps them to be competitive for PhD programs in Europe and others, and in the future be able to come back to support us here in Ghana. So actively, I also engage in training students in the use of our macular densitometer, which is the instrument that helps us to measure macular pigment, which I said is the yellow pigment at the back of the eye. So training them to be able to use it, also giving them support in terms of statistical analysis. So with my little backgrounds, giving them that support, and also connecting them with other researchers who are in their field of research, so that they would also have other mentors beyond our department. And also that also enriches the whole experience during their undergraduate dissertation phase. And throughout that process, I'll be able to work. In addition, as I'm an affiliate of the African Academy of Sciences, as a researcher, I'm able to have to also connect with other researchers across Africa on different webinars, on different meetings, and also see how best we could also work on other programs to also engage the academy on things relating to young researchers here in Africa. And so I also do those kind of engagements as well as a researcher here. And also working alongside with the grant office to write research grants, although not too successful at the moment, but hope that through the trainings that we're given, we'll be more successful in the future.
Sure. That's amazing. That's a lot of work that... you go through on a daily basis, and I'm sure some of them span several weeks, months. And so just looking at your recent award with all your goals as a researcher, what impact do you think this award has on you, and going forward, how is that going to impact your research?
Yeah, this award, it's a great honor to me, and also coming to kind of resource limited environments in Africa, and it's the support that is given through this award will help me in mentoring students, supporting these student projects. There are times you want your students to get exposure to conferences and to travel, even here locally. But you need to, sometimes there is no grant support available because most times you'd have to also support. So this grant will also help me to be able to support them, to be able to travel to other conferences and also develop and inspire them. Currently, we're running some research. One of my students won the Cantab Research Grant, the primary award. And we're working on a study to look at nutrition for cognition in school children here in Ghana. And with the support that the George Britton Early Investigator of the Year Award will give me, I would be supporting this work primarily, and also be able to provide more evidence through the work that we do. So field-based survey where we go around different schools, collect data, and then following that, supporting in the dissemination process. So it's quite an amazing journey, and I'm very, very inspired by all the processes and also seeing young people grow through it. And this award will also inspire many people in my department. And I hope that this award will also connect me with others working in similar fields by getting to know about what we've done so far, and also be able to build on those existing collaborations to make them more stronger and stronger.
That's wonderful. And I think your desire for mentorship is really evident in all that you do. So I'd like to ask, what advice will you leave young aspiring scientists in Africa who are seeking to go into diverse fields?
I'll say first, dare to dream, and don't be afraid when you fall down or things do not work out the way you'd want it. Certainly, sometimes things do not always work out the way you'd want it. But what you need to do is that to take the lessons that you learn throughout the journey. Coming to Ghana, I understand that I can't work as I was in Ireland. The opportunities that are available there are not the same here in Ghana. So I have to think differently and also see how best I could leverage on resources that are available for African researchers. And that's what I do. Also, identifying mentors who you aspire to be like them, or you who can also help you in your journey by giving you that support and also guidance to help you to get to where you are. Also, don't lose your network. So the network is also a very, very important, I think, a very important aspect that I would say that young African researchers should not lose that. I've really taken advantage of the research network I've built over the years, even in Ireland. I'll say that currently I still collaborate when I have challenges, connect with other people I've met at conferences in the past to support my work here. And this has been what has also helped me. And I also encourage other young researchers not to lose sight of the current network they have, and also build new networks to help them. And last but not the least, I'll say that compete for every opportunity that you feel you are eligible for. And you never know what would happen beyond that.
Yeah, that's an amazing one. Dare to dream. So to our viewers, to our listeners, the message here is to dare to dream. Well, thank you so much, Kojo, for telling us about your journey and about your research as well. It's really inspiring to hear about things that are happening back home in Ghana, and being able to get more of our younger students to be interested in science and basically just to also research as well and help to develop the country. And so we want to thank you so much for joining us today. We are privileged to have an award-winning mentor to join us today. And so we are very proud to have you joining us today. Congratulations once again. And thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome. It's a great pleasure to be here. And we'll continue to support in any way we can.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you, viewers, for joining us. Thank you, those listening to us, also for joining us. You can find us on Facebook as Sani, Instagram at Sani Podcast, and YouTube at Sani Podcast. So don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to our viewers on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. Send us your comments on today's episode and see you in our next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.